yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm too sexy for this girl, too sexy for your girl, too sexy for this world, too sexy for this ice.
I guess I'm this side, by the way, the writer-director of Bound. And yeah, we're in campaign mode. We figure we got another 20 days or so, 20 days and plus change, to give this all we got. So we're kind of locked in with our outreach and everything. We've set everything up the last 2 months for success. Mm-hmm. And now we're just doing the dirty work, you know, making all the phone calls, making all the texts, making, you know, reaching out to as many people as we can. Mm-hmm. Because everything's set up, so all we need to do is get people to go to the campaign page and see what we have.
Right.
And if that sells itself. So I'm not, when we reach out to people, we're not even like, hey, can you do this? Can you contribute? We're just like, hey, if you could just check out this page, we'd appreciate it. Because we know if we can get our eyes on the material and the marketing that we've done so far, that'll do all the selling for us. That's kind of how we believe it goes.
Okay. What's good, y'all? Sweet Lux Bar Fight. Talking about no holds bars, we go in. We get drunk, drink vodka, talk shit. We do everything. Everything. Fuck around, make it bang. You know what I'm talking about? Sweet Lux Bar Talk. No longer. Sweet Lux Bar Fight. St. Ives vodka, whiskey, wine, kush, explicit, very explicit everything. We're going to go hard this year. You heard? Sweet Lux Bar Fight. Sweet Lux Bar Fight. You heard?
I guess I'm this side, by the way, the writer-director of Bound. And yeah, we're in campaign mode. We figure we got another 20 days or so, 20 days and plus change, to give this all we got. So we're kind of locked in with our outreach and everything. We've set everything up the last 2 months for success. Mm-hmm. And now we're just doing the dirty work, you know, making all the phone calls, making all the texts, making, you know, reaching out to as many people as we can. Because mm-hmm. Everything's set up, so all we need to do is get people to go to the campaign page and see what we have.
Right.
And if that sells itself. So I'm not, when we reach out to people, we're not even like, hey, can you do this? Can you contribute? We're just like, hey, if you could just check out this page, we'd appreciate it. Because we know if we can get our eyes on the material and the marketing that we've done so far, that'll do all the selling for us. That's kind of how we believe it goes.
Okay. Sounds interesting. So can you tell me details about what you're doing? More details?
More details about the project itself, or more details about the campaigning that we're doing?�
of it.
Like
all of it. All of it.
Well, let's talk about the project first, I guess. You know, I met Alexandra a couple of years ago, and we got to know each other, and I heard a little bit about it, some things that happened in her life, and I was like, whoa. And I was really surprised because I was like, man, those people that I've had these types of things that I've met, other people that I know, they weren't so well put together. They're a little bit falling apart. And I'm like, you seem like a pretty strong, confident individual, mm-hmm. And I said, you should tell your story. And she said, no, I want to act and I want to do a fantasy project. And I said, no, you should tell your story. She said, why? Why? Nobody wants to hear my story. And I said, because your story is particular to you that other people resonate with because they may not have gone through the exact same things that you have, but they've felt hardship and they've needed to figure out ways to get past certain things that have caused sadness or trauma in their life. And this can be uplifting to them or inspiring to them at the very least. So I told her she should write it, And then she said, you're the writer. Okay. So when we were quarantined, I was working on some projects, and I said, you know, and I had another project that's a little more expensive. It's like a $3 million movie that was getting a lot of buzz about it. But we're a young company, and even though that project itself won some awards and this and that, and it's been passed for a really big company, we decided the best thing we should do is to write a new story, a new project that is under $500,000 or $500,000 max. And so I said, you know what, I'm gonna lock down, I'm gonna focus on this. After about 6 months, I finished writing it, and I spent about 3 or 4 or 5 months passing it around, getting some notes and feedback, and then rewriting, and now we finally got it to a place that was producer ready. And we said, this is the one we're going to do, because it's going to be a lot easier to raise $500,000 than $3 million. So that's why we locked in to do this one.
Mm.
So that was the first, that's why we chose this project. It's a super relatable story, a bit of an underdog story, a bit of a coming of age story with some very relevant social themes, and inclusion and. So we chose to do this one, and then let's do it. And the first thing is, as we all know, we need to make some money. We need to have the money in the bank to do it. So that's why we're here with the campaigning as the first step.
Yeah.
And the first step is that, so I've done some campaigns before for projects for myself that friends and family donated to. And I said, look, this is, we're not going to raise $500,000 on it. Kickstarter, Indiegogo, GoFundMe, Steven Spark, whatever you use, we're not going to do that. I was like, this is the vehicle for the people that are your friends, my friends, our family, fans of yours or ours that they want to support, that can't give $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 chunks. I was like, there's no reason why we, it's also an opportunity for us to spread the word about this project and start creating some fans and some buzz about this project. So, I guess our game plan to strategize is we'll do this first, raise a bunch of money, and now we can approach the people that have the bigger money. Because it's a lot easier to talk to them. When you have $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 in the bank to be able to be like, hey, we still need 100 more or whatever it is, the amount that's raising. And we got skin in the game because it's money that we raised for ourselves. So that's where we're at with this.
Oh, that sound good. I wouldn't mind doing business with y'all, Sound very good.
$1 million,
you're
in, buddy.
Yeah. So tell me about yourself, what y'all do for leisure.
What do we do for leisure, you said?
Yeah.
I guess that BC, before COVID, for myself, I played a lot of soccer. I have a lot of soccer teams and a lot of softball teams, and I bartend. That's the kind of stuff that were my other outlet, other than just writing and acting and directing and producing and whatnot.
Yeah.
I grew up in sports, so I played all the major sports in high school and some in college as well. So, Alexandra.
Yeah, I kind of just like working in film, so I do that mostly, and then I guess for fun, I like to cook. I like to hike. I like nature a lot. I like hanging out with Isaac and our dog. I like outdoorsy stuff. I like to travel more and stuff like that. But it's kind of just I feel like I spend most of my time just trying to make films and work on films and stuff like that,
Yeah. So Alexander's just... when she doesn't just act, she actually is on all, works on both sides of the camera. a lot of directing, assistant directing, all different sides. She just likes to be in the room with all the whoever it is making stuff. But she does love her outdoors, which you'll find, you know, bits and pieces of things like that that's infused in this movie Bound that we wrote.
Okay.
Little bits of like that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. Everything. Well, my podcast is about our lifestyle. You know, like we drink vodka, drink wine, everything, and also we put up cocktail recipes so you can listen to it while you make a drink. You know. So
yeah.
So you know, we have music in the background. You know, it just realistic. You know, it just, you know, like we talk about our experiences and stuff like that. It's like an audio movie. You know, audio biography. You know, I'll definitely send you the link if you didn't check it out. It's a bit vulgar, but you know, it's real. You know, it's like
I've worked in New York City bars for 15 years or something like that, so I get it. I just literally got off 3 back-to-back Zoom bartending sessions, teaching cocktails to people. So I'm all about, we know all about that. Most of us have worked in the bar industry for a long time.
So, do y'all visit New York a lot?
Well, we live in New York.
Oh, yeah, I do.
We're in East Village.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're in the East Village. We lived in the Alphabet City, like across the street from probably one of the biggest projects in all of New York. So we live on Avenue D, and Avenue D is like as far over as you can before you get into, you go into the water.
Like the East River.
And the East River, and then, you know, and then it's Brooklyn.
Oh.
So, like, just in the area where 30 or 40 years ago the cabs won't drop you off. They're like, we're not going there. They don't go now. They don't go to Avenue A, B, C, and definitely not D.
Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, they used to call A like alcohol, B was something, C was crack, and D was death.
Wow. That's funny.
It's not like that now.
And now it's like Lucy Brent Central.
So it's, I mean, because I heard the city, you know, like since this COVID situation, it been like I Am Legend, like you barely see nobody. Is that true?
When it was the first month, it was in the first couple months, we could ride our bike down Fifth Avenue or Broadway or. We could ride our bike down Fifth Avenue or Broadway or even Times Square, and there's just a couple of people walking around taking pictures. And they're taking pictures literally to post on the socials saying, oh my God, look at this. I mean, if there was ever a time to film a scene in Times Square, that would have been
it was that time.
Now it's people are walking around again. You know, now that we got the vaccine up and going and all that, things are slowly moving back. Not all the restaurants are open yet. We lost a lot of restaurants. I would say 20 or 30% of bars and restaurants will never open again. Never open back up again. Maybe even more. And and those that are open are at like a very small capacity, so they're only.
It's so sad.
I don't know, they're like a third staff.
Yeah, you know. That's
hard enough to open a restaurant in New York City, and they say, "Hey, just like close for like a while."
I know it's like a hard pill to swallow. You know what I mean? Because after work, you gotta go to after hours and have a few drinks and socialize. You know, it's like you can't do that no more. You know, it's been boring. You know.
Well, if you're at after hours now,
it's like midnight.
Yeah.
After hours, because I know there is an underground.
There is. There's like a prohibition in New York.
It's kind of crazy, and then you hear about them getting busted. They'll be like, yeah, there's, you know, people are paying covers and people without alcohol licenses. It's just a bunch of bottles there, and they get busted, and those people go to jail. They get huge fines because they rent out an empty warehouse or something, and then. Get a DJ and then they caught stuff. There is that scene. I've stayed clear of that.
We're not really in that scene. But there is like a new age prohibition almost.
It is everything. But the thing is this. You know, the reason why I think a lot of underground social places get busted because they post on social media, you know?
Yeah.
Well, they see the dollar signs and they don't think about that, you know, it's going to leak out. And I'm like, no, if you're going to do something like this, you better know the people that are coming in. And you know what? If you think you know everything about all three, because everybody wants to be the one that has the cool thing, the one that's going to know, oh, no, hey, I got a secret thing. You know, come with me. You can get in with me and make them feel special. But come on, 300 people that are willing to do that, there's a lot of people that are leaking a lot of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So so what's your favorite go-to drink, you know?
Well, it depends on what time of the night it is for me. I like to start off with this mezcal cocktail, what a mezcal margarita, something like that, or some variation off that. Right. By the end of the night, I'm drinking whiskey, I'm drinking rye, neat, no ice, no nothing, just in a rock glass by itself, some type of spicy rye with soda water back on the side.
Wow.
Soda water on the side. That's me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, then. So how many drinks it takes for y'all to get really messed up? You know, like how many cups?
For me, I'm blacked out at 5 drinks. I'm blacked out, like hardcore, at 5 drinks.
5, okay.
Blacked out. Yeah. For me, it depends. If Alexander's making them, still be sneaking in. Doubles and triples without me knowing.
Isaac doesn't think a 2 ounce drink is a normal drink. So I gauge him and I put in like 6 ounces, you know, and then he thinks it tastes good.
Yeah. Well,
back in the day, I would do double digits all the time. Mm-hmm. Now it all depends on if I've, you know, worked out before, how much I've eaten.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'll do double digits and I'll be fine. I'll still be double digits.
Okay. I have another thing too. Let's go to the wine category. So what's your favorite wine?
So I like red Zinfandel.
Okay. You?
For me, I don't like tanniny tart wines. I don't like super fruity wines. I like really dry, earthy wines. Old world wine.
Right.
French Bordeaux and stuff like that.
Okay, that's kind of my style. Well, I drink Cabernet Sauvignon. You know, it's very relaxing. You know,
Cabernet Sauvignon.
So, I was thinking about dipping and dabbing inside film, like really writing a short script, because I've been on Netflix. It's like, what the hell was going on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not really that, like, good movies. It's like the plot is off. Like, I watched yesterday, I watched Amityville, you know, like how the sister just take her clothes off, put her nightgown on and lay down and just get killed. You know what I'm saying? Like, That was like Netflix. Yeah, that was like kind of off, you know?
Amazing content, but the old content from when they first started can be really bad.
Yeah.
Especially the indie world Netflix. Once they started getting money, they can start hiring actual showrunners and actual writers and actual, you know, but when they first started, they were just collecting as much content as they could. So they were collecting anything they could. And there's a lot of really bad stuff. All the newer stuff is the higher level caliber. But yeah, there's, you know.
Their original content gotten really nice.
I'd say you should write that story. You should.
Yeah.
I'm always wanting to say that.
Yeah, you know, because like, I want to write something, right? Like, you know, like how the George Jetson, you know, like how they just fly in the air and go to different planets and stuff like that. You know, like,
it's supposed to be like that now.
Yeah, like, you know, like I always follow Elon Musk. You know, like he's showing pictures of Mars. Like, that's a beautiful thing. You know, like it's like I want to do something realistic like that.
You like the sci-fi? You want to write a sci-fi?
Yeah, a sci-fi movie, yeah.
What do people think about writing sci-fi?
Yes.
You write sci-fi, you just times your budget by 10.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's the only thing about writing sci-fi.
They are expensive.
Yep, I wrote one and it never got, hadn't gotten produced yet. No, it was in 2013 I wrote a sci-fi.
Yeah.
Hopefully it gets produced one day, but it was like probably millions of dollars to produce.
Wow.
Yeah, and like I wrote one for myself, like the second project I ever really finished was the sci-fi. And that after I wrote that, I was like, what am I doing? I just spent, 6 months writing this feature. I was like, I need to have a name for any even gonna look at my script. Because when you're writing a sci-fi, you're talking $1 million paid, roughly.
Yeah.
You know?
To do it right.
Right. If it's a sci-fi channel, then that might be different.
That's different, different.
But now, that's some cheesy stuff, you know? If you want like a real sci-fi, you want your Star Trek, you want your Star Wars, you want your things like that. If you want
Total Recall, my favorite.
Talking $1 a page.
Yeah.
So,
So another thing, right? So I was thinking, right? We all should link up because I know a spot on Smith's. I live downtown Brooklyn, Wing Bar, and we could just, brainstorm or something. We could come up with something together,
Yeah, I mean, as soon as this campaign's done, I'm going to take 3 days to stare at a wall.
Yeah.
Put in 16 hours right now, sometimes 18 hours of outreach and stare,
don't feel like real people right now.
Yeah, I actually feel like I'm neglecting my dog, so I'm going to take 3 days where I don't do anything on the computer, and then I'm going to, then let's find a time where we can sit down and we can drink some Cabernet.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend in downtown Brooklyn too. He lives on Hoyt Stormhorn.
Okay.
He's here too, so we can all connect.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah.
And he's doing a little series right now from Dirk TV, so.
Okay. Yeah. So I have a Okay. So since we on my podcast, everything how can we reach y'all? You have an email, something like that, a website.
Yeah, we'll send. There's a few things right now. The most important thing that we're spreading right now is the campaign website, which is www.foundthemovie.com. That's what it is, foundthemovie.com.
F-O-U-N-D, themovie.com.
From there, you can connect and reach. From there, you can connect and reach out to me directly through there.
Yeah, and we can all connect center.
Okay.
And then as soon as that's done, because that's where I'm living right now, so I will definitely see that message. But also we can connect through Saul as well.
Yeah.
Okay, definitely. Yeah, it was a pleasure. Pleasure from hearing y'all. This Sweet Love's Ball Fights. I definitely will text you the link. Y'all can check it out. Stuff like that. I hope y'all enjoy it. Saul, thank you. Saul, you want to give a little shout out? Anything? Anybody want to give a shout out?
Yeah, I'm giving a All right, this is Saul Block, screenwriter, director, producer. I'm starting a campaign myself. I've been up the last 3 nights. I'm about to drop it, and you can reach me on my Facebook, at Saul Block, screenwriter, director, producer. I'm at Saul Block Casting as well, and blocksaul@gmail.com. And you can also reach me at melvinkremsky@gmail.com.
Okay. So I definitely send y'all a link, and I appreciate y'all supporting this Sweet Love's Ball Fights. I feel loved. I hope to see y'all soon. All of us connect. Do something together.
Let's definitely act maybe early April.
Okay. Definitely. Okay.
Yeah.
And I might be coming to New York in May as well. So.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So yeah, just let us know.
Yes, definitely. So y'all have a wonderful evening, a good night, you know, and thank y'all again, you know.
Thank you so much. All right.
All right.
All right. And it was nice talking to both of you on here. Everybody have a great night.
Yep.
You too. Bye.
Yep. So.